Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at God is available 24 hours a day. No cover charge. So Hebrews 4 is where we'll start, verse 16. Hebrews 4:16, a familiar scripture. It said, let us, which first off tells us it must be pretty big if we can all get in there together. Let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this is a tremendous verse because there's many great things in here. It's, you know, let us. We have to do it. But we can go into the throne of grace boldly. We can go into God's throne room. I mean, if this was God's throne room, there'd probably be a lot more animal heads, I guess, around and stuff, maybe. Something like that. But anyway, there was a place in town called 18C. And that's all it said. You entered it from an alleyway. All it said, little light above it, nighttime, alleyway, 18C. We were told that it was a place you could go and smoke cigars in. It was a little speakeasy place, but none of us had ever been there before. It was nighttime. You enter in from the alleyway. We're downtown. So you're standing there outside going, is this really what this is? I had to trust somebody who told me that it was, and we're standing out there. So finally, somebody got the nerve and opened the door, and we went in, and there it was, the throne room of cigars and martinis. But anyway, outside in the alleyway, you didn't know that. All it was just 18C. No signs, no indication, just a black door in an alleyway. Now, once I'd been there into the throne room of cigar heaven, once I would boldly come again into the throne room. So that's the point. Sometimes God is inviting us into his throne room. And sometimes the first time, or maybe the first couple of times, we're just real thankful to be there. You know, just, I'll stand in the back. Glad I made it into the throne room. But that's not what this verse is telling us to do as to what's available. It says, come boldly into the throne of grace. Now, this is not how most people picture God, as a grace-giving, caring God. There's grace over there. So, but that's what we're dealing with here is that, see, most people think they walk into the throne room and God's going to judge them. And immediately they're going to get thrown out or thrown through a wall or ridiculed or, you know, all the different things. I have to change my life because God is, you know, and he expects all these great things of me. No, God just wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you into the throne room so you can sit there and going, how's the job coming? How's life? Want some kids? You don't know what you're asking. But that's what's available, the throne room of God's grace. That's what we can come into it. And while there, we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We find grace there because grace is in the throne room, right? The throne room of Daddy's lap. Let me read you a translation from the Greek that Walter Cummins did. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. We can go into God's throne room confidently knowing, and while there, we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. And that, I think, is really good. For seasonable or timely help. Unfortunately, too many people just approach God when they need emergency God. When all they got left is a prayer. Then they approach God. Well, God's saying, you know, I'd rather fellowship with you and just every day. Let's spend some time together. You know, when Ryan shows up, he's not afraid to come in and say hi to everybody. Unless he has a Cubs hat on.
But
but aside from that, you know, he approaches everybody friendly, and that's what God wants. God wants us to come boldly. And boldly is the Greek word parhesia, and it means freedom or frankness of speech, outspokenness, a confidence and boldness, especially with reference to speaking. Come boldly. In other words, God's saying, don't just show up, but talk to me. Spend some time with me. Speak freely with me. After all, I know what's going on in your life. I mean, after all, I'm God, you know, come on. You know, you can't hide anything from me. I don't care if you make your bed in heaven or in hell. I know what's going on. So talk to me. Spend some time with me. Go to 1 Peter 5. So we can come in to that throne room of grace, boldly talking to God, speaking. And God's not going to tell us to shut up. Well, maybe he will. But he wants fellowship. He wants us to spend time with him. He might say, quit whining. I got it covered. 1 Peter 5, 6 is where we'll start. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And that's a big key. Sometimes God will say, all right, listen to me. Quit talking. I know your problem. I know what your care is. I'll handle it. Humble yourself and listen to what I got to say. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So how do you humble yourself? By casting your care. It's merneta, which means concern. Cast your anxiety. Cast your concern upon God, because God laughs at you. No, God cares for you. Because God cares, God has got an open door policy for you to come into his throne room. You can give all your concerns, all your anxiety, and he will help you with them in timely manner. Because that's God. He wants to be a part of our lives. But sometimes, I can handle this problem. God, you handle that one. I'll handle this one. Well, maybe if we give them all to him, it'll make it all easier, our concerns. Because he knows what they are. Look at Ephesians 3. God cares. God wants fellowship. Ephesians 3 tells us this. Verse 12. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness, again, God says we can have boldness, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, we now have boldness and access with confidence to God. Come on in. Join the family. I'm available. What do you need? Look at chapter 2. 2:17. Again, a resurrected Christ. He came and preached peace to you that were afar off. That's the Gentiles. And he preached peace to them that were near. That's Israel. For through him, for through the completed work of Jesus Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access, and here's the key, by the Spirit, by one Spirit under the Father. The reason we could come into the throne room of God is we've heard about God. We've heard about the accomplishments of his Son. We utilize that and we go into the throne room. We have access because we have the Spirit. We're standing outside in the alleyway just blinking with light. We got Spirit life. God says, come on in here. I got something for you. I'm glad one of you guys in this room already talked to him. Now they can come in and join us. You got access. You got boldness. You got grace. We're all set. So, utilize it. Utilize it. That's the whole point there. We have access via the Spirit. Look at Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But it takes humbling yourself than trying to be a self-made person. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, 4. And such trust have we through Christ toward God. Such trust. We got to have some trust that God will do what he says he'll do. And such trust that we, through the accomplishments of Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient or competent of ourselves. No, we're flesh and blood. We're not competent. Not that we are sufficient or competent of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our competency, our sufficiency is of God. Because it's God who has made us able ministers of the new covenant, of the New Testament. God has made us, via the Spirit, ministers of the New Testament. God has made us competent to be triumphant in life, to enjoy this life. Not because we're so great. If you think you're so great, talk to the person you're married to who's been around you for a while. That runs it real quick, right? You know, like somebody said, if you think you've got it together so much, try ordering somebody else's dog around. They don't listen to you. We have a Nemo running around today. Go back to Genesis 1. You see, it's via the Spirit. We are sufficient. We are competent because of Christ's finished work, because God gave us the Spirit, and God cares. So God's saying, talk to me. I'm around all the time. You don't have to ring a bell to wake me up. I'm awake. I'm ready to go. In Genesis 1, we go back to verse 27 as a great reminder of God's goodness. God wants personal intimacy. He wants to talk to you. He cares. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he, male and female created he them. So in Adam and Eve, he put his image. What is his image? Spirit. John 4:24 says God is a spirit. So God gave mankind, Adam and Eve, spirit. He wants everybody to have spirit to communicate, to have access, to be able to talk to him. Look what he did then with these people. He blessed them. The first people, he said, hey, I'm going to bless you. And here's what I want you to do. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion. When you go fishing, you'll catch fish. When you go bird hunting, you'll be able to shoot birds over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And then you know what God does in verse 29? He gave, behold, I have given you food, seeds, trees, fruit. I gave it to you. And then in 2:15, you know what he does with him? He took the man in 2:15 and he put him in the Garden of Eden. And Eden is the word for paradise. And then he gave him a job. Take care of this garden. He gave him the best. He blessed him. He gave his spirit so he could talk things over with them. When Adam gets in the garden, he looks around and goes, okay, what do I do? I mean, what would you do? You know? So he's in the garden. He's talking to God. God's saying, go try those beets over there. They're really tasty. So they have communication. God gave them food, good food, healthy food, clean air, clean water. He put them in the garden of paradise. Like I say, he didn't stick them in South Philly. He put them in the garden of paradise and said, I've blessed you. I've given this for you. Talk to me. You got the spirit. What can we do? And there's illustrations there where they name the animals. They spend time together. Look at the Numbers 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. See, God wants to communicate with his people. In the Old Testament, because of Adam's sin, they lost spirit. But in Numbers 11:29, we get a great insight into what God really wants, and this is available today. Numbers 11:29. Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. That means they're spokesmen for him. They talk on his behalf. And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. God wanted to do that, not with just Moses and Aaron and Miriam and some of the carpenters and all of that. He wanted every single person to have the Spirit, to have the access to him, to be able to enjoy his throne room. That's what he wanted. It wasn't available yet until the accomplishments of Christ. But once it was available, it's available for all of us today. God wants your heart. He wants to talk to you. Go back to Exodus 6. Here's some insight into God. Exodus 6, talking about his people. And his people were always loyal and always did what he wanted. They listened to him and they never complained.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Okay. Exodus 6, 2. They are in captivity in Egypt. That wasn't what God had planned when he sent them to Egypt. But they found themselves there. And God just ignored them. No. Let's look at the insight here. Exodus 6:2, God spoke unto Moses, and he said, excuse me, I'm the Lord. Make no mistake about it. I'm the one you want to serve. I'm the one who's going to take care of you. I'm the Lord. And I appeared. He's going to build his resume now. I'm the one that showed up and appeared unto Abraham. I talked to Isaac. I talked to Jacob. Then they knew me as God Almighty, as El Shaddai, the mighty God, the God who's omnipresent, who will meet every need, who will defend, protect, whatever it is, I got your back and your front and above you and below you. That's God Almighty. They knew me that way, but they didn't understand me as Jehovah, as a covenant God who cares about each and every one of us. I wasn't known to them that way. And I have established my covenant with them. I'm going to give them the land of Canaan. I'm going to give them the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. Because they were really good at it. Well, if you were in captivity for a number of years and you were a slave, you'd be groaning and complaining about it too. So they asked God for a deliverer. I've heard their groaning, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And you know what? I remember my covenant that I made to their great-great-great-great-grandfather Abraham. I remember I made a promise to him. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Here's what he should tell them. And I'm going to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with the stretched out arm, with a great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you a heritage, because I am the Lord. Now, did they petition God with Abraham? No, God said, I chose you and your descendants. I'll take care of them. God chose them to be his people. And because of that, God said, I'll meet your every need. I'll take care of you. You're in bondage? Covered. You know, you want to go to the land of milk and honey? Got it. It's all available, but you got to do it. I'll make sure the pathway's there, but you've got to walk. You got to stay in touch with me, and we'll do it together. Humble yourself. Come walking with me. Let's see what happens. And great things happen. Look how much God really cared for them. And Exodus 33, one of the reasons he could do that was because he had probably the most experienced, the most trustworthy, the most incredible leader outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, all prophets, including the Lord Jesus Christ, were based upon Moses. Moses has spent 40 years getting the best education of its day and time in Pharaoh's court. He spent the next 40 years in the wilderness getting prepared for the third 40 years, which God didn't tell him was going to happen yet. He just said, I'm going to get you over there. But he was prepared. Great education, great hands-on experience of what it takes to live in the desert, trained, leading people. He led armies. He knew how to move people around from one area to another, you know, because he was in charge of an army. When you lead 2.5 million people, it takes a little bit of planning, you know, to get them with food, to get them together, just to get them out of town. Okay, everybody in Denver, let's go. Yeah, okay, sure. Well, that's what he had to deal with, but he was prepared. He knew how to do it. Why could he do it? Exodus 33:11 helps us. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. Moses and God spent time together. Sounds like a great song, face to face. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face. They had intimate time together as a man speaks unto his friend. Look, go to 2 John 12. I knew you probably figured we'd go here. 2 John 12, all the way towards the back of the book. This gives us, I'm in 1 John, 2 John. Right. 2 John 12. John is writing to people, and here's what he says in 2 John 12. Everybody got it? All right. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face. Why? That our joy may be full. That's what God wants, face to face, like he had with Moses, like he had with David, like he had with Jesus Christ. That's what's available for all of us. We come right into the throne room, we sit right up front and go, God, how about this? Hey, God, how about that? Hey, God, how about? And God's going, covered, do this, covered. All right, this will happen. Be patient. Be patient. That's the hardest part, being patient. Okay, right? The house will sell. Be patient. You'll eventually get to Colorado. Be patient. All right, but look at that. You know, I mean, God doesn't just want tweets. You know, an Instagram. You know, he wants more than that. He wants intimate face-to-face relationship. He wants you to talk to him. That's what this is saying, face-to-face, personal. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. We sang about Christ, but here. 1 Corinthians 13. We've got to pick it up in verse 8. Nope, pick it up in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 13:10, to see the context of this. 1 Corinthians 13:10, we read, "But when that which is perfect is come," and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "when he comes back, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, thought as a child." Olivia, are you a child? You're not a child?
Right.
You're a kid? All right. "When I was a kid, I spake as a kid, I understood as a kid, I colored as a kid. I..." Oh. All right. "But when I became a man, when it was time to grow up, I had to put away coloring and suckers and things like that. I had to put away childish things. For now we see through a glass." It's the word there for mirror. The mirrors in that day and time were pretty smoky. They weren't real clear like we have today. They were metallics, and you'd look at it and you'd kind of be distorted a little bit. But, you know, so that's kind of how life was. We saw through a glass, a mirror, darkly. But when Christ comes back, when that which is perfect comes back, we will see face to face. Face to face, intimate relationship. It's a great figure of speech. When Christ comes back, it will be a tremendous time. New spiritual bodies. Face-to-face relationship. But we can have that today with God, talking to him, spending time with him, coming into the throne room. Look at 1 John. I added this verse this morning. All right, familiar verse, 1 John 3. When Christ comes back. All right, 1 John 3, verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Again, God continuing to tell us he loves us, he cares about us, "that we should be called the sons of God." You son of God, you, Ryan. You son of God.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yes. You son of God. "Therefore, the world's not going to know us." The world didn't know Christ. The world ain't going to know us. "Beloved, now," immediately, we don't have to die and find out if we made it or not. "Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when Christ shall appear, when we shall see him face to face, we're going to be just like him." We're all going to be like in the Matrix, all Mr. Smiths. No, it won't be like that. We'll all have our own personality, we'll be our own people, but we'll have the spirit nature that Christ had. That physical body with a life-quickening spirit. "And we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We'll be just like that. That's something to look forward to. That's something to rejoice about. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 14. Back to Corinthians. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. And we start in verse 1 here. Because speaking in tongues gives us that intimacy with God. It shows us that we've got the Spirit. It allows us to know we've got a ticket to fly when Christ comes back. We'll be out of here. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Follow after charity," or pursue love. Charity is the word for love, charismata. Follow, pursue love. That's the first thing. We always walk in love. And then we are to desire spiritual matters. And then it talks about rather that you may prophesy. And the reason prophesy, being prophecy is a good thing brought up here, because that means a fully instructed church. And God wants everybody to come to be born again and to come into a knowledge of the truth. So that's what he's talking about. God wants everybody, when they come to him, to know about prophecy, because then they're fully instructed. "He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but speaks unto God." So when you speak in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. This is the taking it up a notch level of speaking in tongues for the intimacy that we have today with God that wasn't available in the Old Testament. But because we can speak in tongues, we speak directly to God. No man, the individual, doesn't understand, howbeit in the Spirit, via the Spirit, the God in Christ in you, that Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking divine secrets. When you speak in tongues, you're not speaking for benefit of yourself necessarily, but you're speaking divine mysteries to God, between you and God, you and God, you and God. You not only can come into the throne room, but you can have a personal relationship talking to God via the tongue. that just magnifies God. Well, look at verse 16. 14, 16 says, "Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit." So when you're speaking in tongues, you're blessing with the Spirit. "How shall you be occupied in the room when the unlearned say amen to give any thanks, seeing you don't understand what's going on? For those who speak in tongues give thanks well." But if I just stand up here, you know, sit up here and just speak in tongues, it doesn't do you any good. It builds me up spiritually, but doesn't help anybody else. I'm speaking divine mystery, divine secrets between me and God. We got this thing going on. That's the good thing about speaking in tongues. It builds me up, but it doesn't help you, which is, again, why prophecy, but also why we have the Word. God gave us the Word. So we can go, look, I'm thanking God. "For thou verily givest thanks well." I'm magnifying God. There's many different things, but we're speaking divine secrets. It's an extra relationship in the throne room that we can have. So we go to 1 John. Because we can bless with the Spirit, because we can give thanks well, because we can speak divine secrets, we're taking it up a notch. God's going, even more so, via the Spirit, got you covered. It's handled. 1 John 5, towards the back of the book again. Because we can be in the throne room of God, because we have access, because we got the Spirit, because we can trust God, 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." That's all of us. We've believed on the name of the Son of God. First thing that you know that you can believe is that you have eternal life. Well, that's not a bad start. Eternal life, behind door number one, eternal life. But wait, for $19.99, you got more. All right, we got eternal life first. And then for those that believe on the name of the Son of God. And then verse 14, "This is the confidence then that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, again, we can ask anything, but the little caveat, according to his will, according to God's will, where do we find God's will? In God's word. We can ask anything according to his will, and we know he listens. Olivia, when you talk to your dad, does he listen to you? Most of the time, right? Okay. All right. But if you ask according to mommy's will, right? Okay. When mommy sets you up to it, when you ask, okay, that's the key. Daddy hears. God's listening. And you know what? If God listens, you know what's going to happen? Verse 15. "And if we know that he listens to us, that he hears us, whatsoever then we ask, we know then that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Concerns? Covered. What do you need? Covered. We know we can have our petitions covered if we ask, because God's listening. God will take care of it. Sometimes, though, we wish you'd do it a little quicker. Sometimes, you know, it's a matter of, okay, God. God's going, I'm already working in the background. You know, it's fine. The BMW dealership is moving up, and when it gets there open, they'll need somebody like you. Just be patient. No. All right, Hebrews 13. God cares. God listens. We're in the throne room. And that's a big screen TV he's got behind him in the throne room. Hebrews 13. All right. Hebrews, James. Hebrews 13, and we go to verse 6. "So that we may boldly say..." That boldly thing keeps coming out. Man, who do you identify as? We identify as children of God. We identify that God is our Father and he takes care of us. We humble ourselves by asking, giving him our concerns, and God listens and takes care of it. "So that we may boldly then tell others, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Give me a break. God's got it covered. And we'll go to Psalm 27 and close there. We can boldly, fearlessly, confidently, the Lord is my helper. Aaron had to put God on the spot when he first showed up, right? They asked him at the first place, "Can you do this?" And what did you say?
"I'll make it perfect."
That's right. "I'll make it perfect." Did you have any idea what you were doing?
No. I had a clue.
Well, right, yeah, you've been in the business 10 years, but.
But I've never done that before.
Right. Psalm 27. And did they like the fact that you were that confident?
They did.
Yes. And then you did exactly what most of us should do. Okay, God, how do we do this?
That's right.
And did God cover?
Yes, covered big time.
All right. And now you have a full account there all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You said you showed up this week and they gave you, what, 16 more cards or something?
Yeah, and then ended up being close to 20.
Oh. Oh, okay. All right, Psalm 27:1. I'm glad God hasn't met your needs since you moved here. All right, Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host would encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Well, they had to go to the temple to talk to God. We have the Spirit in us. We can talk directly to God at all times, anywhere. And that was, this is David. He had not much to do except run a kingdom, you know, write new songs and psalms. Huh? But one thing, what was the priority in his life? That I can seek after the Lord, that I can dwell in his throne room, that I lived there. I just didn't have access. I put my bed in there and stayed there. I'm hanging out with you, God. This is a good, safe place to be. All right, as I go through life. So we jump down to verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Well, we just did that in 1 John. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Sounds like face to face again. Seek ye my face, this is what God says. My heart, the innermost part of me, says, I'm in your throne room. Thy face, Lord, I'm seeking it. I'm pursuing love. I'm pursuing your will. I'm doing what I need to do. Intimately, heart, face, hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Verse 13. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's good to know God is alive, working today while we're living. It's not just, you know, learning about all these dead people. No, God takes care of us today in the land of the living. So, the encouragement, because we got the Spirit, because we're in a throne room, is to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the word wait there means to hope strongly, to trust, implying firmness and consistency of mind, to expect anything, to wait steadily and patiently until it happens, until it's effected, until it comes to pass. Wait on the Lord, because the Lord's got the answers. And the best answer is Christ coming back, because it's going to happen. So we keep waiting until that happens, so we enjoy the land of the living with each other, and God continues to, what do you need? What can I do? I'm helping. I'll just take care of you, even though you didn't ask about this one. I got the next one covered. And he just continues to care. So seek God more than just as an emergency God. Incorporate him into your life daily. Look at David. Well, he says that's what everything we read in the New Testament, it was all here in one psalm. He just had that relationship. And David did a lot for God. We can do a lot just as his children, because he cares about each and every one of us and each and every one of us' role in the body of Christ. So, Father, thank you for your care, for your love, for your grace, and for the fact that we can see your word. We can see how much you do care and how you'll take care of us in the land of the living. We're thankful in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.